Okay, so we're going to get started.
Yeah, I want to work with that because it's going to need to be.
Good morning and welcome to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Today we have a very special book. It's called Pictographs, The Graphic Art of James Simon. It's published by the Porcupine's Quill Press, and we are very honored to have two guests. We have the artist, James Simon, and we also have the curator for the collection that appears in the book, Tom Smart. So first, welcome, James.
Thank you very much, and nice for the radio to be having me, and good morning.
Very honored to have you, and James is speaking to us from his home in Manitoulin, and from Fredericton, we have Tom Smart. Tom, welcome to Storylines.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
Now, before we even get started, I wonder, James, if you wouldn't mind, please, speaking your Indigenous name, because it is part of the title of your book, and practice as I have, I'm going to mess it up. So please give us your Indigenous name.
Okay, James Simon Mishibinishmaw.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that, because I practiced and practiced. It wasn't going to come out right.
When I went to Europe, I used to carry a blackboard around and do it phonetically.
I could have used that help. Tom, you are the new director at Beaverbrook Art Gallery in Fredericton, and your connection to James and his work has a wonderful story behind it. Would you just share that with us, and then we're going to get into the actual book?
Well, yes. A few years ago, I was doing a lot of work in Northern Ontario. And in my travels to artist studios on Manitoulin Island, I found my way to Wiquemecong, and I wanted to meet James very much, and he very graciously welcomed me into his studio, where I saw his all manner of work that he's doing, large format paintings, smaller paintings, pictographic paintings, and then also over in the corner, some books, some sketchbooks that led to this project.
And you had asked at that time about making these public, somehow doing a show with them. We're going to get to that a little bit later, because I love the interweaving of the two stories about the use of these drawings. James, let's get to the actual drawings now. Could you tell us what pictographs are? Give us a sort of a definition.
Well, the pictographs themselves, there are old writings or documentations of the Ojibwe people and the Odawa people. And I used to remember this gentleman that used to come around on Sundays when I was just a child, like say, after church service here on the reserve. Elders, my mother used to cook for elders that come in every Sunday. Or every other Sunday, and these older gentlemen, elders. One time, this elder brought a birch bark scroll, and it had a pictograph on it, and he started explaining what it meant. And doors opened up in my mind. I want to know more about this, and then just asking around the community with elders, they start writing down, oh, this what this one means, this pictograph means that, and it was a treasure trove. So more I hunt for them, not really hunt, I just basically bumped into them. And there was more and more right across Canada or in my Ojibwe, Odawa, Potawatomi area. Then one time I was invited to go to Smithsonian, and there I seen the birch bark scrolls. They were done in the 1600s. Like they were done yesterday.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, I thought so, really. And I started to, way back when, in 1969, that was my first art style of into being an artist, native artist. So one time we did a ceremony on Dreamer's Rock, and Stanley Swifthawk from Roseville, South Dakota, an elder medicine man, came there. It was a mentor to us. So as we stood in a circle that time, I looked around Dreamer's Rock on top, and surroundings, the mountain cuts, the mountain peaks around it. That's where I start seeing the people, the Mish Mountain art style.
Mm.
Then the rock cuts, they became the markings of the pictograph. So that's how that started, the Mish Mountain artwork. So everything's related, all the art styles I've done since 49 years.
And when you say you saw it, this is sort of an inner seeing.
Inner seeing, visioned it. So when you do, like today, I'll go, let's say I want to get inspired, I want to do a Mish Mountain. I'll go to the North Channel or Dreamer's Rock area or somewhere there where there's mountain peaks. I'll do a ceremony, do my tobacco offering, and then do my sweat, and then the image comes in.
Mm.
All I have to do is put it down on canvas. So I average about 4 Mish Mountains a year, 4 or 5.
Now, James, when you first discovered this within yourself, the desire to work with these pictographs and create pictographs, you asked permission to use the pictographs, you asked permission from the elders, but it was 15 years later when you asked a second time that they finally gave you permission.
Yeah, that was my father-in-law, medicine man, Sam Beswamik. It was around 1970, in the fall of 1970, I was asked to introduce something to the school system. Do some up for teaching use, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Sam at the first time, I'd like to paint these pictographs on canvas, introduce them to the schools. And his reply was, no, you can't. He said, no, you can't. And you got to put respect in them first.
Mm.
But what you can do is you can create your own writing of that pictograph and drawing, but same writing. And I thought that was fair, 50-50. Okay, I said.
Yeah.
So 28 years passed. 28 years, it's not 15.
Oh.
28 years passed. And then school systems, like now this time I was traveling everywhere, all over the world, all over Europe and the United States and Canada. And they want to know more about this, the true pictograph. By this time, all my things are embedded on all my art styles are embedded in paintings. And then I went back and asked Sam. He said, sure, go ahead. He said, and I said to him, okay, wait a minute. You gave me such a long speech last time I asked you, and why just, like, without saying anything, you just said yes. It shows me, he showed respect. He asked me the same question 28 years later. And if I said yes then, I don't think all these other art styles would have been born, and you wouldn't have probably traveled Europe. I don't even know if your Mish Mountain artworks would be born, because that's a separate avenue. Like, everybody's going through that right now, artists in general. But you took upon your own little route, like your own journey as being an artist. And then look what you've done, he said. And like, I have about 9 other art styles, and they're all markable at the same time. The reason why I have other art styles is when I complete one Mish Mountain with the people figure on them, that will take so much energy from you. Colors from 20, all depends on the size, from 20 to 50,000 sheets of color. One will take me about 3 months. That's about, let's say, a 24 by 30. And then I did 10 murals from 2002 to 2012, in the spring of 2012. So that those ones, they'll have around 60,000 shades of color. So each one took me about 11, 13 months. And I don't think I don't got kind of time to make another mural. 1 year, and then I got to go and fill in my updates. My wife always reminds me, hey, you got a mail to fill in your pension. Don't talk about that, I said. Well, they take time. That's basically it.
And so your development as an artist might have been short-circuited, is what the elder was telling you.
True, because it took its own flight, its own little journey, its own little tree. I'm always using the tree as an example. Mm. Even to, let's say, our youth, you'll see them. They'll sometimes, when they come home, oh, I'm feeling kind of bored, this kind of stuff. Right? Look upon the tree. You know, start from the bottom, and you tell them, take that branch. Take another branch beside it. The one you're on, the discoveries are all full already. You need to take another journey. Mm-hmm. So you take another branch, and there's a new friends, new school, or another year of school and everything, and work at what you want to study, what you're going to do, what you're going to do at home to the, or to the community. Once that's done, you take another branch and work your way up, your education, whatever comes in your life. That's the tree of life. Mm. That's why I always use it. Mm. That's pictography also.
Mm. Now, Tom, there's sort of a similar story in your introduction to the pictographs and then receiving permission from James to look at the drawings first. Tell us that story.
Well, as I said, when I first went into his studio, I noticed many different styles of painting, many different sizes of painting, but there were these small books over in the corner, and I asked James about them. Can I look at them? And I think he hesitated for just a moment, then he handed me one, and I was able to look through it, and I asked him what they were, and he said they were his sketchbooks in his dream diaries, and I said, this is very interesting, and we had a conversation about them, and at the end of the conversation, I asked him if had he ever thought about publishing them, and could I be involved perhaps in trying to find a way to publish them, and he said no. So there was a no, and I'm happy to say I didn't have to wait 28 years for the yes, but a few years later, after we worked on a number of projects together and got to know each other, I think I was back in your studio again, James, and I said, James, could I look at those books again? And I looked at you, and I said, you know, is there any possible way that these could be published for more people to see your drawings of your dreams? I said, I realize that they're private, and I respect that, but I know that it wouldn't be too difficult to find a publisher. I had one in mind, and we chatted for a few minutes, and then you said yes. A few months later, we met, and you gave me the portfolio of books. And then, well, here we are today. So there was a gap. You thought about it, and I thought about it as well. And the result is the books and a number of other projects that came about as well. But it was that moment of looking, thinking, and then showing respect to the drawings and to the artist, and then just waiting until the right moment.
And we are the beneficiaries of that, because eventually we have this book that's been published by the Porcupine's Quill and sharing that with a wider audience. Now, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, James and Tom, I'd like to talk about having opened this to a wider audience and everything that entails, because these are sacred, holy drawings and containing sacred holy information. So we're going to talk some more about that when we come back. You're listening to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley, and our guests today are artist James Simon and curator Tom Smart. We're speaking about James's new publication called Pictographs, The Graphic Art of James Simon, published by the Porcupine's Quill Press. Listeners, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. We have two guests this morning. We have artist James Simon and curator Tom Smart. James has just released a book called Pictographs, the graphic art of James Simon, published by the Porcupine's Quill Press. And Tom, you were perhaps the driving force behind making James's drawings public. Tom, can you tell us a little bit about how you brought these images to Tim Inkster at the Porcupine's Quill Press and kind of massaged or allowed this to be born?
Well, I'd done a number of projects with Tim over the years, particularly around different formats of publications of wordless narratives, of graphic novels, books of drawings and prints. And when I saw James's books, I thought this absolutely fit into the publishing program that Tim and Elke Inkster had developed at Porcupine's Quill and expanded it in a way that the drawings themselves are really their own alphabets, and an alphabet that really unlocks many different dimensions at the same time and speak many different languages. At the same time, I was working, as I say, on a number of projects with James, with some of his other paintings, but it seemed that the multidimensional element of James's practice needed to be expressed in all of its fullness, these large format Mish Mountain paintings and these very intimate drawings. And he also did a series of drawings based on his mother's experiences as a student at the residential school in Spanish that we exhibited as well. And there was a small publication that came out of that. So it really is, I learned so much from James, and I think the wonderful outcome of all of this, including the books and the exhibitions, is I hope I've developed a good friendship with him. And it's really wanting to share what I was privileged to see when I went into his studio in Boswell, to share it with a wider Canadian audience. James told me that he's better known internationally than he is in Canada. And I thought that was a real shame because of the talent and the vision that he had, and the vision that's really grounded in a very deep appreciation of the land and its history. And Tim and Elke Inkster understood this innately as well. So I felt very comfortable. And I asked James if I could show them his work, and he said yes. And so we met. It was one snowy afternoon near Go Home Bay, and he gave me these portfolios. And when I first gave them to Tim, I think Tim looked at them for about 1 minute and said, yes, we can publish these. Mm-hmm. So it was there was an instant connection and a tremendous overlap with the publishing program that Porcupine's Quill had developed. So I'm happy that it's come out, and it's so beautiful. You hold it in your hands, it's almost like a missile. Mm-hmm. In the way that the words and the pictures come off the page.
And so respectfully done, in that each introduction of the drawing is James's own notes from his books. So Porcupine's Quill didn't throw in their interpretation or overdo any of their piece of this, as we would, of course, expect from Tim and Elke. They completely respected James's drawings and descriptions of his drawings, introductions to his drawings, as they were given to them.
That's right. Well, James, being the author, has written in several different languages, the language of the pictographs and in the titling, and I think they reflect very well in the book. And there's a sensitivity in the design, even in the choice of papers and the formats and the inks, that illuminate the imagery and actually allow the reader a very seamless kind of way into the world and the messages that James is conveying through them. Giving yourself over to the drawings is very easy to do in this format.
Mm-hmm. They're meditative.
They're meditative, or almost prayerful, mm-hmm. and there's a very interesting, the line itself is very expressive in the way that it leads your eye around to these various images and symbols. And also the lovely kind of music and lyricism of the whole project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And James, you're sitting by very, very quietly while we discuss your work. James, how do you feel about these images being public?
Well, let's see, all the people I've talked to over 49 years as being an artist, to people I went into homes, artists, medicine people, men and women. Now they have a voice to them to be heard publicly. And this is really something, storylines. As you know, storylines, each time Tom said storylines, I see a sunset or sunrise. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow, people are going to have, you know, like new experiences and everything. The pictograph is a teaching of a same magnitude. I think what we bring in into society is, like, say, the stuff that man creates. And he'll run it for a while, let's say 6 months, and discard it, not thinking, okay, this becomes garbage for the landfill that we don't know how to get rid of yet. But through the pictographs, most of the documentaries that are written on stone, leather hide, or birch bark, these are written with purpose. Us to move forward.
Mm.
The other day there, I was told by a medicine man that the worst invention for mankind is a fence. That's the worst invention. Mm. Because if your neighbor, let's say, spills battery acid on the ground, for example, or oil, the neighbor with the fence on the other side says, oh, that's too bad. You know, it happened on his property,
mm-hmm.
not on mine.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to take that second look. The earth is your property.
Yeah.
We live on this one planet as mankind. What we do to it is what we do to ourselves. That's the kind of information that is in these pictographs. And I only touch a small base on them because small part of it because these documents are everywhere. Sometimes the markings, they're cooked by the sun, just the pigment. Let's see, the seal is still there. On the rock, they use tree gum or animal blood, for example, when they put these markings on the cliffs. Or on rock cuts. But through the years, through the centuries, it's the sun that cooked the pigment on that color.
Mm.
But the seal is still there.
Mm.
So if you suspect there's a pictograph somewhere or one that's raining, you will see these things. They'll tend to come white in color, brighter, because the seal is still there. It just turned into transparent.
Mm.
But the water can seep into the stone. And that's where the markings come out. And usually people go in and carry a little bit of water, you know, like go over the stone, and then the pictograph materializes. So these are sacred teachings. They're written with purpose. Just like if there's a stream, let's say a river. There could be a pictograph around there not to cross it.
Oh.
You know, like somewhere deep inside you, you say, that looks kind of dangerous. You know, like you feel like that. If there's a stop sign, okay, I can't cross that because there's a stop sign. But listening to yourself inside, oh, I feel that's kind of dangerous. Listen to that intuition inside, just something's messaging you with purpose. And then pictograph was written there, and then this person moved on, so other people will come in for into like 20, 40, 100, 150 years. These things are warning for a purpose for us in the future. So it's got to decipher each one of them. And they were done through ceremonies, sacred ceremonies. Usually there were medicine men who were the ones, the pictograph writers. Because they got it through the ceremony.
And James, you've said you're now sharing these pictographs because there is important information, just like that stop sign tells us, you know, we need to stop the car and look both ways and be careful. You're saying that the time has come for humans, because these are not culturally specific. We need to just respond to these drawings as human beings. It's time for us to start listening.
Yes. I think that time arrived, I would say, about 40, 50 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, even after the First World War, for example. It was starting to people to migrate to other parts of the countries. The multiculturalism is shared to different people. Tolerance was tested and still being tested today of other nations becoming one. And again, that fence mentality comes in. Oh, you're this person. You're from here and you're from there and you're already marked as you're European or whatever. But, you know, if you start talking to people, understand their often culture, their practices and everything, and that's how they communicate to each other or to the world or to their how they pray or, you know, that's how they function. So working with nationalities is way in the future now, because you can't turn back the clock.
Mm-hmm. James, I certainly hope the world starts to listen, and you've given us all maybe a better reason to listen, or maybe a better avenue, let's say, for listening with this beautiful book. We're speaking today with James Simon, the author and artist behind Pictographs, the graphic art of James Simon, published by the Porcupine's Quill Press, and also with curator Tom Smart from Fredericton?
That's right, the Beaverbrook Art Gallery.
Right, which is a new position for you. How is Fredericton today, by the way? Huntsville is buried in snow.
Well, it's probably coming this way. That there's some heavy clouds, but the sun was out this morning, but I think it's clouding over now. A gorgeous day, though, right on the banks of the St. John River. I wish I could show you the picture.
You can email that to me.
I will. Okay.
James and Tom, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you this morning, and thank you so much for being guests of Storylines. The time we have together this morning is so short, but I think you've certainly shared something that listeners will want to know more about. James, can you give us your website address so that listeners can? It's such a beautiful site. It gives so much information. I think I spent days reading through your website. And then we'll give our listeners also some information about how they can order Pictographs.
Okay. You can go by going mishmountains.blogspot.com.
And also, if you just Google James Simon, you will certainly come up with James's website. You'll have no trouble finding your way through there. You can also buy the book, Pictographs, the graphic art of James Simon, from the Porcupine's Quill website. And you'll find that at www.porcupinesquill.ca.
Yes, or just by going Mish Mountains, just put that in.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning into Storylines. James and Tom, it's really been such a pleasure to have you this morning.
Thank you very much, Christine. It's been my pleasure. I've learned so much.
Thank you very much, Christine, and I'm an honor. I'm honored to be on the radio with you. Thank you. And thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome, James.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in this morning to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm Christine Cowley, and we're here in two new time slots, Saturday mornings at 8 and Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. We'll keep on talking to authors and book folks about books and the writing life.